Welcome. Good evening to one more segment of Charlie's Bunker. How's it going, little baby? I like this music. It mellows us out. I like it. What do you mean it's all right? You know, for you being gone almost a month and a half, it seems like you're not even excited to be here tonight.
I'm here.
I didn't say you're not here. I said you're not excited. You know, we were... I shouldn't say we're back, because we leave so many times, then we come back, then we leave, then we come back. It's like, at this point, it's like, I don't even get excited. Like, whatever, man. It's like, we just keep coming back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So we're not even going to say we're going to make a comeback. We just say we're just doing another segment. How about that?
We finally made it back.
Okay, we're going to go with we finally made it back. Welcome, guys, one more time just to Charlie's Bunker. I'm your host, Charlie, in my bunker. And then we have here my co-host, Nelly Baby. How's it going, Nelly
Charlie
Baby?
Charlie in your bunker?
Charlie in my bunker, yes. Is that we're not going with that, right? Charlie's Bunker. And again, we actually came back to Chi-Town. This is our home. This is our home. And I like it here.
Before the DJ comes in.
So guess what, guys? I used to be the DJ here 2 years ago pre-pandemic. It used to be a blast. But it turns out that they actually got a DJ. And then I had to come in and show why I was the DJ at the end of November, because, you know, it was my friend's birthday. By the way, happy belated birthday. So we're back, and, you know, I had to show who was the original DJ here, and it was a blast. Bless you.
Excuse me.
Bless you. So what's up? How you been doing?
Minus the sinuses. I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Anything new you've been doing for the last month and a half?
No, not really. Just work, trying to get adjusted to the new job, and then home.
And then home. Right.
I'm very excited.
Well, you know, you did have a good idea. I just want to make it actually official today that maybe, because I'm predicting this is going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I'm definitely hoping it doesn't happen, because...
You're going to fire me?
I'm not going to fire you. I cannot get a best co-host like Nelly Baby, but... She's thinking of actually opening up her own podcast. She did come up with that idea.
I don't think I'll give views, but we'll see.
This is the moment where you get excited. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, this is the future plan and blah, blah, blah.
It's still in thinking mode. Still thinking mode. I don't have the charisma that Charlie does.
I think it's about charisma. It's just, you know, the courage. Have you actually heard the very first... Have you gone back and heard the very first segments I've done of the show? They were horrible. They were terrible. The sound was bad. The topics were decent. The only one that actually was really good at the beginning was the one we did about the Milgram project in Germany back in the 50s with the counselor Sylvia. That was a great topic. We had a great conversation, and the audio was horrible. I was so mad that day. It's unbelievable. But yeah, you know,
it was a good episode.
It was a really good episode. But if you can't hear it, what's the point? Right? If you can't hear it, what's the point? Anyways, so that was pretty much the beginning. We're getting a little bit better. We're getting there. So bear with us. But it's been almost, what is it, a year. Actually, started doing the segment, the Charlie's Bunker, in Spanish and in English, at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Spanish one was actually in the middle of last year because of the whole pandemic, and I had nothing else to do, and I couldn't record the Chapin Show. So I said, fine, let's just do this now. But that's the year, this one, Charlie's Bunker in English, we started doing it at the beginning of the year.
The Chapin Show?
No, we can say it. You know, we ended up in good terms at the end. So, you know, they said, you know what, Charlie?
Well, one of us did.
Well, you know, we were talking about it too. Like, you fired me from the Chapin. Like, I didn't fire you. I didn't fire
he
you.
He agreed
it was somebody else.
To get okay. me fired.
I didn't agree. I just said, you know what? I got a boss and I couldn't do anything about it.
But they going said, back, we don't need her. She's talentless. And I said... I thought a Kardashian could do it. I thought I could.
Going back to you, all right, because we're talking about your personal podcast. You had an idea. So do you want to tell them what was your idea? She's like, no.
Not really, but basically just like my thoughts and how I'm feeling for the day. I was just thinking about maybe calling it Nelly's Diary. You know, just a space where I could just vent. you know, female stuff, just like how I'm feeling that day, you know, girl stuff. So that's why I'm like, I don't think it would like really kick it.
I think it would, but you know, we'll let her decide. We're gonna let her get the courage, right, and get this done, because she's really good at it. She has burned me a couple of times. Okay, no, she's not good at it.
No.
For all the people
nobody
in Encore.
Nobody likes me on here anyway.
for a non-comeback, I can see the eye twitching right now. For all the people in Encore, they're like,
now he knows how I feel for the whole week.
That twitching.
Because I was feeling that eye twitch
there.
All week.
Okay, it's right there. Okay, well, I'm going to cut that short. Right, you know, because, you know, whatever. Topics. What are the topics for today, Nelly baby?
I thought that was your criteria, sir. You know, since the eye twitch is there.
You know, you're really not, you really lost practice in the last month and a half.
I have.
She really has lost practice.
You know, because my boss fired me.
Nobody fired you. You're literally here on screen right now. And you're on Anchor and Spotify.
That's why.
You're literally right here.
Like he tells me, I have like 7 days, five days that I haven't seen you. So all that's built up. So we're going to kill each other.
Today's going to be a very exciting segment. Because, yeah. I'm going to need some beer here. Because there's no way I'm going to deal with all of this for a whole hour and a half without any alcohol in my system. There's no way I'm going to do it. Okay. Do you have the topics now?
Yes, sir, right here.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. What are we going to start today with? I'm going to let you handle it today. What are you going to start with?
Well, there's three topics today, like usual. Our first one is having sex with a chick that is emotionally unstable. Is it a thing for guys nowadays?
Are we going to start with that one?
No.
No, okay.
But you told me to read the topics.
The one we're going to talk about first.
Men are in love with what they provide is another.
Okay, so are we going to talk about that one today? Right now?
The other one is Shaq.
We are talking about Shaq.
So we're doing Shaq.
We're doing Shaq. I need some liquor here. Somebody, please give me some liquor. Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, during the whole month and a half we were gone, because we decided to take a Sabbath month and a half. There was an article on Facebook about Shaquille O'Neal. Now, as we know, and I did discuss this with other people, they said that Shaquille O'Neal was not actually... He was a decent basketball player, right? The only reason why he got into the NBA is because he can break the backboard of a basket.
The dude is 7 feet tall. Why wouldn't you put him in a basketball team?
Listen,
I don't care how clumsy he is and doesn't know how to play basketball.
Okay, so it's not about because of the talent. It's just because he's 7 feet tall and he can break backboards. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. This is a confession on Charlie's Bunker. I never follow basketball. I'm not a basketball fan. I never got to see Michael Jordan play at his prime. I never saw any of the championships. The only time I actually got to see Michael Jordan play was in the documentary. What is it? I don't even know the name of the documentary. The Last Dance. Okay, there you go. The Last Dance. So that was the only time I actually got to see Michael Jordan play. And probably everybody's going to be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, really? This is... If I ask you about Maradona or David Beckham or anybody, you're gonna be like, "Who the heck are they?" Yeah, we're in the same.
I know who David Beckham is.
Yeah, we know why you know who David Beckham is. I'm talking about his soccer days, all right? Not his.
His Calvin days.
Maradona, Hugo Sanchez, you know, Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, Kaká. You know anybody who I can Kaká. Say right now? Yeah.
Kaká?
No, Kaká, not Kaká, Kaká. There's a difference. So, we were talking about Shaquille O'Neal, right? And then this person said, listen, he's not a very good talented, but he's a really cool guy, and he's really down to earth, and he's really centered. Okay. And I said, okay, good. And the reason is, because he was in an interview not too long ago, and probably you guys know about this, and that's what we're going to talk about it. But he was in an interview where they asked him if all the money that he had was going to be left to his children. And he said, no, because I'm rich. My kids are not rich. Okay, we have a guest. How's it going? Thank you for joining us today. I don't know who you are because your name is not on the screen. But even if you do, you're probably the one that says, we should not name you. So we're not going to name you. We're just going to say hi for joining us and thank you. And probably she's going to disappear in 3, 2, 1. No, she stayed. Wow. Okay. Anyways. So probably is not a baby. So, Shaquille.
No, I didn't post
no.
this.
Wow. Okay, wow.
Because I always get beef.
Wait, what? Hold on. Time out on the conversation. What? You didn't share this?
No.
You're really getting rusty. Really getting rusty. Okay,
it's
well, back
I got
to the
fired.
Nobody fired you. No one fired you. For the love of God, you're still here. You're on screen. They're literally seeing you. Why do you keep saying that?
I love getting a badge. It's funny.
Okay, anyways. So he said that his kids are not rich, that he's rich.
Bitch.
And I'm rich, bitch. Bam, bam. Okay.
I couldn't help myself.
Okay. Thank you. You're going back. She's going back into the mode. She's going back into. We're gonna let her. We're gonna let.
Let
her
me
go.
Have my moment.
We're going to let you go, get into the mode, shortly but slowly.
You know what?
Yeah, that's fine. We're not. I'm not disputing that. Okay, shortly but slowly. Okay, so, what is that? Do you think that's proper? Do you think that's correct for him to say that his kids are not rich, that he is rich?
Because he's right.
Okay, but.
He busted his butt.
Okay, he busted his butt. Let me hear your explanation. I'm gonna start from there.
In the words and mental thoughts of Shaq, I busted my ass on that court. I broke them basketball court boards. My ass is 7 feet tall.
My ass is 7 feet tall.
Okay. I sweated my ass for so many years on that court. Guess what? You ain't getting shit. Pardon my language.
That's fine. But don't you think that's a little bit of a negative idea?
No. Because okay. Most of these kids now from privileged families have an easy way of life that already expect to be given what they think they deserve. So basically, they're going to be thinking, oh, my dad's Shaq. I'm rich. That means I'm rich. So
I'm rich. You're poor. Go work for your food. By
go
the way,
give me my torta, peasant.
By the way, I need you to clean my tennis court. So that's pretty much where we're
go
going with.
Go clean my bathroom, Margarita.
Okay, I don't think his kids are named Margaritas.
No, they're probably their waitress. What's they're called? I don't even know.
Maid?
I don't even have a servant. There you go, servant or maid.
Okay, all right. So I think that he's right. He's right. Okay. I'm just thinking, once he passes, what is he going to do with all that money?
I'd be an asshole and give it to a charity.
No, why would you do that? You wouldn't care about your kids?
Look, the only thing I would give them would be maybe one mansion, maybe a couple, in between all six of my damn kids. Each one will get a house property.
Okay, first of all, how many kids did he have? I don't even know.
He has around six kids, six to seven kids.
Oh, no wonder he said he's not going to leave anything to his kids. There's a bunch of kids.
So, if depending on how many properties he has, I'll give one property for each child. And then, you're lucky ass, I'll pay you your college education for free, so you don't have to worry about it. So, your job is just to go to school and not worry about anything else, because at least you got an education.
Yeah, but again, I mean, okay, so here's the thing. I guess where I'm coming from, and it's not that I'm against it. I'm actually 100% agreeing with Shaq, because I'll be honest with you, once I die, I'm going to be like, hey, kids, you know, I work for this. I don't know what to tell you, you know. Make your own path. Go make your own mistakes. You know, get your own money. Go read the books and all that stuff. Do the hard work. And I get that. I really do. I really do that they need to actually learn how to manage to survive with what they got, mm-hmm. like he did, right? Because he didn't come... I don't think that he came from a privileged family. I think he actually busted his butt to be where he's at. And there was actually an article I read a couple of months ago that said that that generations, right, you start at the bottom and then you keep working yourself up, and then the next generation pretty much stays at that level, and then they work themselves up, and then that generation works themselves. So the third generation is pretty much at the top because they actually collected everything that the previous generations did. And then eventually, because they didn't learn any of the struggles, any of the sacrifices, and they didn't actually educate themselves like the previous generation because they didn't go up the hill, they're on top of the hill. Eventually, they're going to mess up because they don't have the tools or the necessary things to survive, and they start managing to break down everything the other generations did, and they pretty much take a downhill, and then land in the bottom, where the next generations have to pretty much start working again, right? I agree with that theory. It's 100%. I agree with that theory because you have to learn the... If you don't learn the hearts of life, you tend to kind of mess up and just pretty much go back to where you started, okay? With that being said, why I don't think that he's going to abandon his kids and not teach them how to survive life.
I'm giving you a damn property. At least you got free home.
I don't think it's about the property thing. I think it's more about he's trying to teach them a lesson on how to actually manage to get what he got.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people on Facebook, the majority were actually in favor. They're like, yeah, you know, he's a good guy. He's really centered. He has helped a lot of people. You know, I think he's a good idea what he's doing with his kids. But obviously, there's the other side of the coin where they're like, no, that's child abuse.
How is it child abuse?
Because you're not providing them.
I'm literally not beating you.
I know, but see, the child
abuse... And most of his kids are not even kids. They're adults.
I get it, but, you know, the child abuse that we came from, it's not the same child abuse they come from, so it's open to interpretation, right? I mean, think about this, all right? Nowadays, if you go to a kid and say, no, and the kid starts crying and gets anxious, now that's child abuse. Was it hurtful? No, you just didn't give them what they wanted. You just didn't give up to the tantrum. Did we get a no? Many times, and then after that, a beatdown. If you continue persisting, right?
It's like I knew the chancla.
Yeah,
I knew the belt, the sandal, electrical cord. But we're not going to talk.
We're not talking about. No, we're not talking about. We're not talking about that. Know, that was discipline.
Just a part of life.
It's a hard knock life.
And you learn
for us. It's a hard knock life.
The hard way.
Okay, we're not going to start
you know,
that.
You know who else also did that to their child? I know you probably don't know who she is and you don't like them. The Hiltons?
How will I not like them if I don't know who they are?
Because it's pop culture. She was an early millennial that started the reality
You mean
shows.
Paris Hilton?
Yes, Paris Hilton.
Oh, I know Paris Hilton.
I'm
not going to say why I know Paris.
You know why. I know why. Yes, she was...
Everybody knows Paris Hilton. Because they own a chain.
They
own a chain of the hotels named Hilton. Duh, everybody knows that.
And everybody had a night in Paris.
Everybody, I don't know, I never went to Paris. But I know Paris Hilton because of the hotels. I studied one of her hotels, so, you know, I had to know. You got to do the research.
Well, her grandfather did the same thing to her, to his her father, and he said... I'm not going to give you any of my inheritance. You have to work your way to my status.
But that's a tall order.
Yeah. Which means the father of Paris Hilton worked his way up to those millions.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I don't think that he meant it as in, I'm going to abandon my kids and let them. No, I think what he tried to say, and this is what I'm interpreting, is that he's going to teach them the ropes to actually get their own success, which I'm agree with that 100%. But then we go into the other aspect of the conversation, right? Nowadays, a lot of people believe that that's child abuse.
I don't think so.
Because you're not allowing them to grow into their own person.
Well, Paris Hilton is like, what, your age? She's 40.
I was about to say...
41.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, she's not that old.
No, she's 40.
Okay,
because Kim Kardashian's older.
Oh, we're talking about the Kardashians now. I thought we're still talking about
the
Hilton.
No, we're doing Paris
Hilton.
But they knew each other.
I'll bet they did. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Paris' dad did the same thing.
No, continue. I'm just here enjoying, you know, the look. That's great.
Paris' dad did the same thing to her. She really didn't. She worked her... She's, I guess, the first... billionaire woman in her family.
That's impressive.
And she started off her early career as a reality star. So that's how she started her money.
You said reality star.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, what's it called? I used to watch the show too. Paris and Nicole and all them adventures they used to have together.
I don't know who they are.
I was a kid. It was funny.
I guess. I never watched that show. I didn't have cable because, you know.
I didn't either.
My dad told me that I needed to make my own money so I can afford my own cable.
I didn't have cable as a kid.
You stole it?
No.
You know, when you go and you buy the cheap antennas, what actually was a hanger, and then you used to put them back on your TV, your old-ass TV, and then used to, like, there, Simple Life. Thanks! Thanks! I forgot.
Then you steal the hanger. Why would you buy the antenna?
Okay, you're not from the hood, because if you have an antenna, that thing, the hanger would be the antenna for your TV.
I didn't have an antenna. I had a Nintendo.
Oh, you're rich, because I didn't even know what a damn Nintendo
rich.
Was.
I work for that shit. I mean, I work for that. I work my butt off for a freaking Nintendo.
So, you would get the glitchy BET commercial that was close to whatever damn freaking broadcasting airline TV shows that you could get out of that glitch, and then sometime at nighttime you could get the spicy jam.
You mean with the one with Paris Hilton?
And others,
right.
And then you see the little buzzing, and it's like a blurry, and you would think, is that what I think it is?
Oh my God, I saw one. What do you see? A boob. That's what.
Is that boobies?
Boobies. Oh, good old times. No, but going back to that, okay, going back to the conversation, I think it's a good idea. Okay, we have a couple of, well, she already read one, but we have another comment says, we will climb the post to get cable. Mm-hmm. There you go. Now, she was smart one. She's like, forget the system.
That involved work.
Forget the system. I'm going to get my homies to climb up and then give us cable. It was very simple back in the day to get cable. Just go up the post and, you know, get the split it, go to your house. Or buy the box. Back in the day, you could buy the box.
I was poor.
No, there was a lot of technicians that were like...
I was so poor,
I
couldn't afford the pee.
I mean... Okay, I still need some beer for this. Because I don't know what to respond to that. I really do not know what to respond to that. Hey, man. I'm broke. Can I pee? No, man. You can't. You got to pay. Oh, man.
I forget you're dyslexic. You don't get jokes.
What does mean with
spelling
dyslexic?
Jokes, that is.
And she says she hates my dad jokes. I just pull one out of the hat. What the heck? Anyways, I think it's a good idea. I think that it actually teaches other commoners like us that we should not pamper so much our kids. I get it. The mentality right now is that we have to give them everything. Provide them everything that we didn't have. I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay? I get that. Because I heard that too a couple of times. Like, hey, you gotta give your kids what you didn't have. Well, guess what? I'm going to let my kids work for what I didn't have. And I'm going to give them the tools to get what they didn't that I didn't have. Because the difference, and I noticed, this is my personal theory. The difference is that we didn't have guidance or someone who can actually, some of us, not all of us, didn't have anybody to actually guide us through the path of life. And we learn the skills that we have the majority on our own. Okay? I could be right. I could be wrong. This is my personal theory. Work with me. But nowadays, you get tutoring and counseling and everything under the sun. And these kids do not learn how to actually learn with the difficulties of life. And I think that is the worst mistake we can ever make for the kids. Because nowadays... Again, not all the cases, but the majority of the cases, either you leave them alone all the time or you're pretty much putting too much pressure on them. And we cannot find the middle ground. Now, I was having a conversation with somebody, and she's a very good friend of mine. I love her to death. But she said, you know, what would I do if I don't... I saw my kid. She's very attentive. She reminds me when I was a kid. What do I do for her to not go through the same things I did? And I said, well... First of all, why are you even asking me? I'm like the craziest person you could ever meet. I have really bad decisions, really bad choices, and not to mention the fact that I'm as crazy as they come. But here's what I did, okay? And I told her, just if she's going to repeat the same things you did, might as well guide her through the path so she doesn't make the same mistakes you did. I mean, just because you went through the same path does not mean you have to make the same mistakes. And that is what my theory in life. So I think he's doing a great job. I think that's a perfect example of how we should treat our kids. Make them work.
Work for what you deserve and what you want.
Yeah.
And that's what I say. I'm like, I've never been born and raised with materialistic things, labels and cable and stuff like that. I don't understand how people now just, I have my Louis Vuitton and I have my this label and that label, I don't see any purpose for it. Like, I really don't. It's like people deserve to have it, or they need it in their life. I don't think I need that.
You know, and one of the things that that I noticed is that a lot of, you know, because, I'm into boxing and all this stuff, and I noticed that a lot of people who actually are champions, they came from really bad neighborhoods and bad life, and they actually went through this challenge of training and the mental change and the discipline, because they had a goal in mind, but because they had the necessity to survive, not because they were somebody provided. So again, I don't think you should put your kids in the desert and let them figure out the way back home, but I don't think you should give them a golden temple and let them, you know, let them take all the work that you did. Because at the end of the day, and this is what I've noticed too in my personal, you know, theories when I'm thinking about nonsense, is that all the work that you do, at the end of the day, it's for nothing, because somebody else will enjoy it. So why would you do that? Enjoy it where you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. That's why Nelly Baby here, she's going to be like, I'm going to leave Charlie's bunker and I'm going to make my own stuff because, you know, forget him.
No.
You going to stick around here?
Yeah, because you do the work.
Man, I walk into that one. I really did. All right, guys, if you don't have any more comments, we're going to close it here for the first segment. We're going to play some music. And we'll come back for the people on Anchor, Spotify, Apple. Oh, I forgot. I always forget. You know, I always forget. But can you please share this thing?
I was about to say.
Yeah. We always forget to say it at the beginning. We always say it at the end. By the time, nobody's listening. But can you
share? Don't forget to share, like, comment.
Can you share it? You know, I see somebody here today, La Pocha. Thank you. Oh, La Pocha's been coming up with some really cool episodes in her podcast. Yeah, she's the one that actually was like, I'm going to leave Charlie Bunker, so I'm going to make my own podcast. And I'm glad for her. That's what I'm here for, okay? And we have other ideas coming up. La Pocha, Pocha has her own ideas. And in the episodes she's been coming up with, they're really good. She's done something that I've never could have done. And it's actually explain our culture down to the T. I've never been able to do that. You know, because I always get emotional, and she's doing a really good job. So, kudos to La Pocha, but share this, man. Share this. All right? You got it?
I got it.
Okay. All right, guys.
Take it away, Johnny.
Johnny Canales. All the gringos are like, what the heck are you talking about? Johnny Canales. All the pochos are like, yeah, baby, Johnny Canales. All right, guys. We're going to close this on Anchor and Spotify, and we'll come back with the next segment. All right, guys, we're back. Awesome music that we played just now. You know, the music that you've been listening to the previous episodes, it's been played by Spotify, obviously, but the ones that chose the music is Nelly Baby in the most recent ones. The ones with the, you know, awesome music and rock, heavy metal and all that stuff, that's me, but nobody listens to that, even though it's cool music.
It's okay, you listen to it.
I mean, yeah. I do.
It matters.
Whatever.
One view matters.
Whatever. You know, that's not, whatever, man. That's just wrong. Okay, so, second topic.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Well, I'm asking you because I'm training you for your episode, for your podcast.
So training me?
Yeah, I'm training you. You know, like we talk about the last couple of seconds, like, oh, can you train somebody to do something? And you're like, no. And I'm like, yeah, you know, if you train them. Psh, indeed. So, what is the second topic we're talking about?
Are we going to talk about men are loved by what they provide?
No, we're going to leave that one at the end. Okay.
I need to get drunk for that.
Yeah,
that one.
You do. Okay. I'm gonna try to flag somebody down so they can give us some beer.
I'm about to go next to this table with these drunk guys and steal one of their beers.
I know, right? We have a
it's
a
not
table
like they
next,
notice.
We have a table here and we're like, they're really having a great time.
They're like, tú no estás borracho.
What is it? You got the Nelly Baby. I had zero training. You got this Nelly Baby. I had zero training.
You were not part of that experiment.
Not at all. You know, you can't even give me credit. Really? I gave you the eye. I gave you the app. Really? Not even that? You know what that
said? The inventor gave her the app.
Jesus. Anyways, second topic. For God's sake, oh, and your phone went down. Okay, no. So, this is a topic that actually was sent to me. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But.
Who sent you that?
I think it was you.
figures.
Who knows? Who? Honestly, I don't know.
With my mental and my Alzheimer's, I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah. So here's the thing, okay? We're going to read the next comment. He says, he gave me the app and I'm still trying to figure it out. And you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job.
That's how we learn. You got to tumble and fall and then pick your...
Pretty much. That's how I teach. That's how I teach, baby. That's how I teach. Anyways, so this is actually a very interesting topic. And the reason why we're talking about this is because a lot of people say that I have a type. I never said I had a type. I'm married. I shouldn't have a type. I don't have a type. 9 times out of 10, I'm completely clueless of what the heck's going on around me. I'll be honest with you, and we already talked about this, and I'm going to go with that. But Nelly Baby here found an article that says that having you as a guy, having a chick, or being with a chick that has a little bit of mental dilemmas, right, or a little bit of baggage, it's actually very exciting.
Spicy.
For men. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of men that I have heard, that it's true.
Maybe because they're a little special themselves.
Okay, that just went straight for the kill. I was going to build this up for a little bit. And I was just like, they're crazy. They like it. Okay, fine.
Why do you think Harley Quinn and the Joker loved each other so much? Because somehow...
Yeah, they're saying podcast. Yeah, we're gonna. You gonna go play basketball?
No, he says he's busy.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, yeah. So he's saying, hey, next time, can you tell him to bring us the beer?
We're trying to get VIP status to get the owner to get us drunk again.
Yeah. So okay, what were you saying? Oh, okay. Harley Quinn and the Joker. We gotta really stay in topic.
Well, there's two mentally hurt people. One was a psychiatrist who deep down was kind of crazy herself.
I do. Okay, I'll continue, because they got a good point there.
She got the boner for the Joker, who was mad crazy, okay? Which, when he finally turned her mad crazy, they had the most awesome, great, spontaneous, over-spontaneous sex in my head.
I don't think they actually showed in the comic.
They did in a movie.
But the movie doesn't count.
You're supposed to display the passion, the mad, angry passion that you have for each other.
Hold that. Can you tell him to
bring him? No, he says he's playing basketball.
Okay. But he can just tell somebody. Never mind. Okay. So here's the thing. Okay. And I agree with that 100%. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. I think that men, because of their fixer mentality, because they're fixers. Men are fixers. Not emotional. Men are fixers. And we're going to talk about that later in a bit. But because of that, when they see somebody who is maybe emotionally challenged or, you know, a little bit out there, which a little rebel compared to the other women in society, they actually get attracted because they need to fix something. I think that's my crazy theory when it comes to that. Like you said, for example, the Joker and Harley Quinn wanted to fix him, but he actually made her crazy. Which, again, goes back to what I'm saying. Somebody needs to fix someone. And I wouldn't say emotionally damaged. I because there's a lot of people who are a little rebellious. They go against the system. They're more outgoing. And a woman that's a little bit outgoing, it's very exciting. It's exciting. You find. See, I was reading this book today about how men, you know, they like the dangerous life, right? They get into more accidents because they are actually pushed the envelope more when it comes to the danger, right? So that's why they're either skateboarding or they're jumping off planes or all that stuff. But, you know, obviously women do it too, but men tend to do it a little bit higher. And even insurance companies, the car insurance companies, they charge a little bit more when you're a man because you're actually at a higher tendency to get into a car accident. Because you're doing cartwheels and all that stuff, you know, wheelies and all that stuff. Okay, which is good. I agree with that 100%. Men are a little more dangerous when it comes to doing some reckless shit. All right, I get that. But when you find a woman that's just like you, it's just exciting. It's very exciting. So if there's two nutcases walking around and doing all these things together, it's a connection with men. There's an actual connection, and it's really I find that really interesting.
Very true.
I told you it does.
I don't know. I mean, how can I... All right, so any more thing you want to elaborate on this? Because, I mean, this is a really... This is like the moment where you're like, okay, men are...
For the... sorry, guys. I'm having a brain fart.
You literally, as I was talking, I saw you on the phone, and you were, like, literally staring up, and you just...
I know, I'm trying to think.
She took off, and I don't know where she went, and then she's like, landed.
Because I was trying to remember the topic. All I remember was Harley Quinn and Joker. Month, people. Month. This is what happened.
Yeah, after a month and a half. All right, so do you actually agree that that's a good thing for women?
To have similar likes?
It's more than similar likes, because you can have a similar... Like, let's say, for example, you and I can go to the movies. Mm-hmm. Movies are not dangerous.
No.
So then, therefore, it's a like. Therefore, it's not a good connection. Like, for example, if I say, hey, Nelly, baby, you know, let's say we're going out, and I say, hey, do you mind jumping off a plane with me? And you're like, heck yeah. And you start getting ready, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool, right? This is, like, the love of my life. Like, the adrenaline and the passion that you put in into a relationship and the connection, that means something to a man. But what does it mean to a woman when there's not that connection? Because that the other thing that I think that happens is that when they don't have that connection, right, that they're little off. Like, he's really outgoing, adventurous, and whatnot, but she's more of a stay-home and, you know. But they have a nice chemistry, but there is no excitement. Wouldn't you say that affects the relationship?
Yeah, because it's boring, because one person likes to do things, and the other one just doesn't want to do anything at all. So I would say maybe do a 50-50, meet together, so that way at least it keeps the relationship kind of semi-stable and interesting.
So let's say, for example, if that is the case where you are very outgoing, either the man or the woman, you're very outgoing, you want to be like, yeah, let's do this, let's do that, and blah, 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 blah. And eventually you're like, okay, I think I need to slow down for a little bit. Like, can I take a break? Wouldn't you say that kind of kills relationship? Like, if you want to put it in a level right in the middle, wouldn't you say that actually becomes a little monotone and dull?
Yeah, because then I would feel like you don't want to hang around with me anymore.
So then what do you do? If you go 100% all the time, you're going to burn the candle, you're going to burn yourself. If you get in the middle, you're going to be boring and dull. If you go all the way to the end of the other side of the spectrum, then pretty much that's the four horsemen of the apocalypse of marriage. I mean, there's no way. So what is it to do? Because nowadays, it's either 100 or nothing.
I think you have to work together with your partner in order to at least, you know, give 80, 40, or 50-50, or meet in between. So that way, at least, you know, maybe your significant other is not fully mentally, emotionally there at the moment, and you have to support her, just like she would support you if you were going through the same thing.
That is true. But, you know, as the book said, a lot of men are not emotional. They're more physical.
In some, supposedly, they're not emotional, but some men have really, like... Why would men get depressed if they're not emotional?
That's a very good theory. The reason why men get depressed, and this is what the book said, it's because they are not allowed to express their masculinity when it comes to doing dangerous, or they get limited for X, Y, or Z. So the idea of why men get depressed is because they're being obstructed from being their natural selves.
But somehow, isn't that an emotion? So you're being emotional.
No, because the emotion is being run through by actions instead of words.
So how is it different to be emotional as a woman?
Because you guys express it with words.
But I don't see a difference. I think, like, why can't men be emotional?
Yeah, so let's say, for example, when women get emotional, they want to talk. When we get emotional, we want to punch the bag.
Not all the time.
Of course not all the time.
I could see the table right now, and I could see they're all getting emotional. And they use liquor as a substance to show that they're emotional people.
But that's a brotherhood. See, it's a little bit more complex. Mm. See, we're going to change the topic a little bit more towards this side, because I guess it's just going to take us there. But someone said, a woman said, right, to a man, he said, you need to learn how to be a man. That's what she said. And I asked, how does he need to be a man, based on what you said, right? So then she said, because you got to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, fine. So then my next question was, can I tell you how to be a woman?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I get the, I hear the, oh, you should be a woman, and you should be the, not the provider, but you have to be the motherly person, the one that feeds the family, that makes the food. What does that label you as a mother? That you have to, I get the, I have to feed my child situation, but why automatically do you expect me to put an apron on and go to the kitchen?
Got it.
And
so do I, can I tell you, you need to learn to be a woman?
No, because I wouldn't tell somebody, oh, go be a man or learn to be a man.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. Do you think she was right by telling him and then him answering, okay, can you just go, can I tell you how to be a woman? You think that's fair?
I think so.
Okay, so why is it that it's not accepted? Because you cannot say that to a woman. Let's be realistic. If I come as a man and go to anybody and say, listen, I notice how you're behaving. Let me tell you that you need to be more of a woman. That is called manslanging, right? Manslanging mm-hmm. or something like that. I'm using a condescending tone of voice to tell a woman what to do and how to do it. That is an actual term. And I think that if a woman comes to a man and says, listen, you need to learn how to be a man or you need to be a man, she doesn't know what it means to be a man. So going back to what your example of the gentlemen who are next to us, yeah, they're drinking. Yeah, they're being emotional in quotes, but it's a brotherhood. Men are like that. We don't just open up to anyone. We need to feel like we can trust you and be a brotherhood to be open that way, which a lot of the times we don't have it with our women. We don't. Because I think of the same reason. We're not seeing eye to eye. There's no connection there. So I think that by actually having that similarity of the adventurous and the rebellious stage and, you know, going into the world and doing something that it's exciting for both of them up to a certain limit, that creates a connection. So I agree. There are men who actually do enjoy when there's somebody who's mentally, emotionally damaged, mental damage, whatever you want to call it. But it brings excitement because there is no limit.
True.
So I think that is a very interesting thing. I agree with that 100%. I think that men are actually attracted to the bad girls, like they like to call it, right? They're attracted to the bad girls.
No, because I don't think it would be bad girls.
I mean, bad girls have a tendency to be a little bit more rebellious than good girls. Which is what we want.
Not all the time.
Again, we're generalizing because we cannot go into the certain percentage of time. I mean, I think at this point in the game with our listeners, I think they should know that there's obviously a certain percent that it doesn't apply to the rule. Right?
Plus, who wouldn't want a crazy chick to go all off and start, you know, have spontaneous, crazy-ass sex?
You
want to
know whom? Men. Men don't want that either. That's my other problem with this topic. Because there's a lot of men who said, and listen, that girl is hot. Would I marry her? No.
No.
Because they want stability.
But not all men want stability.
Again, we know. We're talking about the ones that do. We're talking about the ones that do.
Okay.
Yeah, so, okay, let's go into it. The ones that don't, why do you think that don't want stability?
Because they want that crazy, spontaneous sex.
So if
they
don't
want any form of labeling to the relationship.
So if you're saying that they're emotional, but they don't want that as stability, wouldn't that give them a stability? Having a good girl? Okay, so they're asking us, what is a good girl? Okay, so again, I don't have an actual definition of what a good girl is, but in what I think society could consider a good girl is, you know, kind of Victorian kind of look-alike. You obey the rules, you know, follow the Catholic or religious beliefs, you obey your mother and father, you know, set up a straight set of guidelines that you need to follow, and they do. That's what I think a good girl is, right? Again, back in our days was, don't have sex before getting married. I'm not going to have sex before I get married. Come on, baby, let's have sex. No, because my father said I don't have sex. And they don't have, and they wait until, you know, they're married. That would be considered a good girl back in our days. Which, again, to the perspective of men back in that time, it was boring. And they wouldn't go with it. But if you find a hot, nice chick who ride your motorcycle with you and dressed all leather like Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman, oh, she's a wild one. Let me go with her. So you see what I'm saying? But then again, they actually always marry the one that, well, not always, but they actually marry the one that gave them stability. The nice home, the relaxation, and all that stuff. But then it gets boring. So, in other words, I will agree that men don't know what the hell they want. Obviously, not every man. Some men.
It's true. I agree.
You just going to go with that?
Well, what do you want me to tell you?
I mean, whatever you think. I mean, you're a woman. You see this from the other side of the coin. I'm giving you my perspective when it comes to be a man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what women think. Honestly, I don't know. Even Mel Gibson said, women think what women think. And he figured it out. Me? I don't know. I'm not Mel Gibson. I didn't get electrocuted by lightning. All I'm saying is, I mean, if I would have done, I would not survive. Hello. It's lightning. But you, from being a woman, it's your opportunity to say, listen, I think men need to wake up and do this, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here, one of the comments said, because those men themselves aren't stable. And that's a good point. That is a perfect point, because a lot of men are not stable. They're not stable. They're not stable.
Yeah.
And they don't know what they want. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. And that's why I guess the relationship is balanced out, right? Because she's not stable and he's not stable. So they're kind of even each other out.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the example of the Joker and Harley Quinn. They come together because they're both psychotic and they're both looking for that same purpose, but they're not stable. And I agree with that 100%. I think when there is not a stability or the ground rules set in a relationship, that's where it tends to fail. And I agree with that. But men, a lot of men are very damaged. I agree with that 100%.
Men are damaged, but also the women. So it's not only men.
Yeah, no, you're right, 100%. Yes, a lot of men are damaged. A lot of women are damaged. The only issue here is that men are not allowed by themselves and at one point society to express those emotions. So I think that's where actually the next problem that we're heading, that's going to be the one where we're having a lot of kids nowadays, boys, who are very emotional and they don't know how to fix themselves with the realities and the roughness of life. And now they're going to have the other side of the coin where women, now when they grow up, they're going to want a man that actually is a provider, and there's not going to be any. So I think that's going to be the next problem we're going to have in the future. I just went off topic. But it was deep. You know it was deep.
It kind of equals out to the next topic, I guess.
Yeah, it was. It was. All right, anything else you would like to add?
No.
No? Okay. So we're going to cut the segment here, and we're going to come back after this awesome music that maybe Nelly Baby's going to put, maybe I'm going to put, or maybe who knows who's going to put it. But somebody's going to play the music, all right?
I'll put the music
on. We'll be back.
I'm not going to torture you guys like that.
Whatever. We'll be back. And we're back for the final segment. Listen, guys. As we were waiting for the last episode to download, we actually started having a conversation on the Facebook Live, and he got really good. He got deep. So we're now talking about how I was reading this book, okay? And the book is talking about don't bother kids in the park or something like that, about skateboarding. It was a little weird topic, okay? The chapter was really weird. I was like, what the heck? So they started talking about how kids, they're more adventurous, more wild. You know, they tend to get into more accidents because they're more free spirit and they like to do more dangerous stuff compared to women, to girls. And eventually the chapter started talking about how the men developed a dynamic among other men. And then it started going into communism, whatever, to each his own. And then it went back to how women actually, their mates, how actually they pick their mates. So we're going to start talking about that. And the next topic is, before we got to name the topic. And I completely forgot the topic's name. And Nelly Baby closed our page. And the topic is, men are loved, but what they provide. That's the name of the topic. Men are loved based on what they provide. So, I said in the live that men, what men is considered, it is determined by women. Let's start there. What do you think about that?
I don't think so. It a woman's gonna love their man for what they provide for her.
No. My question is to you. Okay, we're gonna develop this whole thing. My question is to you. Do you agree that women determine what society sees a man to be?
Sometimes, but sometimes there's, you know, the outside, which is social media, not only social media, newspaper, books, describe what a man is or how a man should be or a man should be the provider, stuff like that.
Okay, so I actually heard, okay, and this is Vulture. You know what? I love Vulture, the guy from the MCU, because he's really down on point on some things, okay? So I was looking at this interview that he had. I forgot the name of the host, but he goes and says, she said, and he asked me to make him a sandwich. And then he says, and then she asked him, what do you think? And then he goes and says, go make him a sandwich. And then she's like, what? She's like, yeah, go make him a sandwich. He goes, oh, no, you shouldn't say that. That's not right because, you know, now you're oppressing her because, you know, you're expecting her to behave in some sort of way that she should not be, you know, behaving. And then he says, okay, so let me ask you this. If we go on a date, you, and then she finishes the sentence by saying, I expect you to pay for the meal, which is right. I mean, just a yes for that.
Yeah.
Shitting giggles. Okay, yes, okay. So then she says yes, right? And then he says, okay, so if somebody comes and attacks you, then you want me to come in and punch the guy in the face, right? She says yes. Okay. So then he's like, and then he says, so if we're in the you know, rico y delicioso, right, you expect me to last a certain amount of time. And then she goes, yes. And then he says, so if you want all of that, why can you make me a sandwich? So that's my point. She determined what she wanted from him as a man, but when he asked the same thing from her, she find it offended. She find it offensive. So that's my question. Do you think women actually, in based on that, do you think they actually determine what a man should be and what he should do as a man?
I don't know, because that would be on the side of the man, though. Like, I would be like, okay, I'll make you a sandwich because you gave me X, Y, and Z.
Okay, so that's okay. So do you think other women will see it the same way you do?
Probably not.
Why not?
Because
okay, based on what you've heard from other women that you talk to, what have you found out?
They want their men to be providers. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised like that. I don't expect my man to be my provider.
Okay, but do you see why they have a point? Do you see why a man should be a provider?
Yes, I guess it's just the way that people were brought up or their form of thinking that the man is supposed to be the provider.
But, I mean, a man should be a provider. I think so.
The woman could be a provider, even as a single woman.
They both could be providers. But my point is that a man should be a provider.
I guess if we were in 1950.
Yeah, okay, so do you agree that a man should not work and not provide at all?
I'm not saying that.
Okay, so do you agree with a man should give 35% to provide?
If it's a 50-50 relationship and that's how the agreement is, then that's the way it is.
Okay, so who determines the agreement?
I think both as spouses.
Is it realistic?
I think it is to me.
I don't think so. I don't think the relationships are realistic as the way they put it. I think that, you know, they have this beautiful idea that we're going to do 50-50 or 100-100, and we're a team, blah, 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 all the way. And at the end of the day, it just doesn't happen. There's a lot of men out there who nowadays they don't provide. And I've heard this so many times before where they say, oh, my man doesn't work, and my man doesn't do this, and my man doesn't do that for the kids, and my man. And it's just, you know, as a man, I find that a little bit upsetting because I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So if he's not providing or if he's not doing anything, what is he doing? So going back to the book, he said that women actually have a certain standard for the man, for them to actually act and react and be in that working functional society, in that functional relationship. The point is, my point is that who determines that? The woman. The woman is the one that puts the guidelines. The woman is the one that says, you got to do A, Y, and C, because if we don't do this, then we have an issue. But how many times does he actually stay quiet and just, you know, follow the guidelines? Because that's his job in, you know, the society we believe in. We live in. Right? So, is the men loved by what they provide? I think they are loved by the way they provide. If I was in my relationship with my wife and I said, listen, honey, I'm not going to work right now. You know what? I'm going to take a whole Sabbath year. I'm not going to work. I'll clean the house. I'll take care of the kids. What do you think women, what do you think she will say? Like, in general, what would a woman say if somebody says that to you? You pay the rent. You pay the bills. You do this. You do that. You do pretty much all your work that you do. Plus, you got to pay all the bills. Would you agree with that?
At some point, because if somehow the person was laid off, if there's nationwide layoffs going on, because Corona did affect a lot of families.
So wouldn't you say that there's other options that he needs to look for?
Yes.
Then isn't that a way of you saying, listen, you have to provide because this is pretty much what we're doing with?
You have to provide, but at the same time, I'm going to be providing for my child.
Yeah, but we're not talking about your child. We're talking about you and the house. Like, it's they always go with the child. Everybody knows that the child's going to be included in everything. We're talking about rent, bills, if you have a car, if you have insurance, if you have this, if you have that, food, shelter, all those things. Nowadays, with the way economy is, one income, it's not enough. And unfortunately, I have seen some cases, I wouldn't say a lot, I see some cases, where the men, it's not providing. And a lot of other men, they actually do believe that it's not right. That it's not right. What do you think?
Well, if the woman is going to be supporting the man, it'll be probably before a short time while he gets on his feet.
How long is short time?
I don't know. However it takes you, how long it takes you to get an employment.
A year?
Maybe. Maybe less.
You will actually let him do that, not work for a year?
Not for a year.
Dude, if that happens to me, I'll be in heaven. In heaven. Not work for a year, that's...
Because maybe later on you would be able to get her back and while she's not able to work.
Again, do you think that's realistic? Do you think actually he will say, listen, I remember what you did and I'm going to get you back? I got you, baby. You think that's realistic?
Sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too good-hearted at times that I believe that maybe we could help each other out. Maybe that's just me.
I don't think there's a woman out there who actually nowadays will put up with even him being 3 months off of work. I think that the moment they find out that they're out of work, they'll be like, okay, I'm sorry for you. I feel bad for you. I honestly do. You got my heart. Tomorrow you're going to go look for a job. That's the majority of the cases.
And I'm not saying no to that, but still, I'm like, you got to support each other.
Yes, but if he's not supporting you...
Again, what's the purpose of getting married if you're between the good and the bad?
That is true.
Right? Rich and poor.
That is true.
So what's the purpose of a stupid vows if you're not going to get married and not follow the rules?
A lot of people don't believe in that.
Okay, then you should have not gotten married at all.
That is true, but they did. Okay, so we have a post here that says, yeah, I think I'm late in the conversation, but do you think it goes back to our primal survival instincts where the woman will look for a man that she believes is a good provider? Same way a man looks for, continue and see more, with a child-bearing hips. Same way the man looks for a woman with a child. Yeah, that's a good point. It's biological too. The book said about how we are a creation of billions of years of evolution. Okay, if you believe in evolution, good for you. If you believe in religious, good for you too, because even in the Bible says, the man shall provide. You got kicked out of heaven. You will work the ground so you can actually feed your family. And that is the job that we've been given as men when it comes to being in the Bible or in the evolution aspect. Whatever it is, I think that a man's value is what he provides. Okay? If a woman right now finds a man that says, listen, if the guy says, I'm not going to work, if she says, oh, yeah, no, don't worry about it. You know, it's all good. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe a month. I'll give you a month. Be understanding, you know. But more than that, no. He's going to be like, listen, shape up or get out. And you forget about the bowels. Because bills, life, pressure, anxiety, nervousness, and everything that comes in life does not care about you and your bowels. Because they're going to ask you to come up and cough up the money. And if he's not doing his part, then just dead meat. I'm just saying. I'm keeping it real. I'm a man. And I wouldn't do that to my wife. And if I did, I'd look for another way. Be proactive and you know, just look for another way before we get to that point. But if I did, because it did happen once where I got fired and I decided to take a week off. And she's like, no, we're not doing this. You got to go look for a job. I feel like shit. I'll be honest with you. I feel bad because I was like, I'm not being supported. But in reality, she was afraid because there is not my side of the provision was not coming in. So, yeah, I agree with that. I agree that that's the evolution of survival. I 100%. So going back to my original point, men are determined how much they're worth by what they provide, either emotionally, economically, support, or anything else. It's provided by the it's determined by the woman and has to be provided by the man. What do you think?
I don't know. I guess it's just my upbringing that if I don't need to depend on a man to provide for me, I'd just do it myself.
Yeah, okay, so then that's a good point. Let's say, for example, your baby daddy or your boyfriend, because, you know, he's a good guy. But if he just didn't provide, would you still have him there for years to come?
No, but I don't depend on him to provide. I got it for myself.
That is true. But then why is he there?
I guess to care for my child.
So you give it an even trade. So he is providing.
The care for my child.
Yeah, well, I mean, but is that care or is that responsibility?
It's both.
I mean, the way I see it is it already comes with the package. You know what I mean?
I guess, sure.
I don't know. I think that the only reason why I'm bringing this topic here is because the next generation of children, boys mainly, I think they're having a rough time ahead of them. Because nowadays, you know, men like me who are already shaped and messed up and psychologically abused and whatnot, there's no hope for us, right? There's no hope. But the next generation of boys, what are we going to expect from them? What are they, you know, if you're a mother and you have a boy, then you're going to, but, you know, it's pretty high likely that you're going to be pampering and you're going to teach them how to be a sensitive kid. If you have a girl, you're going to teach her how to be a strong girl, right? Because you cannot depend on a man because you have to be the one that actually has to be independent because, you know, that's your job as a woman, right? Because you can't depend on the man because men are sucky. Okay, cool. We can go with that. But if you're a mother and a father who has a boy and a girl, where do you land? How do you manage it? Do you tell your daughter to be strong and independent and your boy to be emotionally and tender? Or would you teach him to be a regular man where he has to provide and be strong and tough and, you know, we know you have emotions, but you need to get up because people depend on you? Or what would you do? What is the path that we take?
I think it should be an even trade. Why does it always have to be... I know, it sucks saying why does it have to be feminine and male and everything put in perspective as you're a girl, you have to act like this, you're a boy, you have to act like that. I'm like, I think it should be an even trade. Let the woman and the man both be independent, strong people and grow as that and as well as show emotions and be an emotional person. And why does it have to involve any form of sex in it?
I don't think it's more of a sex thing. I think that we have not found the midpoint of how it is to be that. You know, how it is to teach a kid, a boy, to be emotionally expressive because they have to express themselves because we know that's a healthy way to actually live. But then we also suppress him when he needs to be a boy. And then we want to teach our daughters to be tough because why? We can't depend on a man. So you're trying to teach them, the women, not to depend on a man, but you want to teach the kids, the boys, that need to be soft and tender so women can depend on you. So we're already putting them against each other. So that's where I think the problem is. We cannot find the middle ground. We can say, listen, boys are not sucky or men are not sucky. It's just pretty much it's just the hand they dealt with, right? And there needs to be communication and there's to be understanding and all that stuff. And it's going to be hard. Just let them know from the get-go, shit sucks. Life's hard. Deal with it and work with it. If you don't want to, then that's fine. But there has to be something that to be understanding that life, it's not easy. And I think that's what we're missing.
Yeah. That's why I kind of like have lectures with my son. I'm like, because I tell him, let me know how you feel. Be emotional, but still get up and do what you need to do and learn to do tasks on your own. It's okay to be sensitive, emotional, but at the same time, you have to be strong and continue to learn and new and build things as, like you said, as a provider. Because, again, I'm not always going to be there. His father won't always be here. So he has to learn, since he's the only child, to live on his own and be his own person, not only because he's a boy.
But I think that, and probably you did say this, but I think that one of the things that we need to learn as boys is that we really need that companionship. Sometimes, you know, going through life thinking that you are a lonely man and you cannot express feelings, that's just toxic. That's just wrong. But also thinking that you definitely need somebody 100% all the time with you because you're incompetent and you can't do anything, that's also toxic. That's really bad. So I think that my crazy theory is that if you actually teach a kid to be tough and a provider and a certain way, you know, a strong individual, not a man, an individual, it's okay to actually have somebody to have your back, you know. And that could be either your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or whoever you think it is. It's good. It's good that sometimes you can feel that you need somebody to carry your cross or somebody to make you feel like you don't have to work the load all the time, right? Because that's the men, just the general idea that men should carry all the load or the majority of the load and the woman shouldn't. And again, this is just the way we were raised up, okay? But nowadays, we're shifting it, right? Where the woman has to carry all the load and the man not so much, right? So I think we need to find that middle ground. I think that we're in the progressive stage and it's going to take probably a generation before we see anything. But I think that this is the time where we need to see that. Okay, we have a topic. I only have sons, and I always thought it was important to make sure my sons grew up and know how to fix things and be protectors, but also respect women and value their opinions. I grew up in a very traditional home, and I know it's old-fashioned, but it's like traditional men-woman roles, just the way it is in my house. And that's 100%. That's true. We need to teach our kids, our sons, that they need to do those things, right? They need to fix things. They need to be boys, because that's biologically. We need to be boys. We're fixers. We think. We rationalize. We're not emotional. But it's okay sometimes to be like, listen, you know, I'm feeling a little tired. Let me lean on my wife. Let me lean on my friend. Let me lean on anybody who gives me that help, and just unload. And I think that's the key. Let them be boys, but eventually teach them that people are there to help them. And this is my perfect example. I told my daughter, right, and my son, both of them. I told them, if Jesus was the Son of God and he was tired with the cross and somebody helped him through the rest of the way, why can't we? Right? Mm-hmm. What do you think before we close?
I'm trying to think about the topic. Well, I basically explained everything I thought. Your point of view is also good, because like our viewer says, it's just that role that you were brought up as, you know, traditional men and women and what traditional men and women are supposed to do.
And biological.
And biological.
Everybody forgets that part. It's biology too. It's engraved in our DNA. You cannot go against DNA. It's just pretty much that.
Well, that's kind of being fought off too nowadays.
Yeah, and that's the issue. How can you fight your instincts?
That's why it's called different genders.
Yeah, forget the genders. We're talking about pretty much your instinct as a human being. Listen, guys, I'm a leftist, Latin America leftist. I believe that there is equality for human beings. Okay, the whole gender thing, that's a liberal thing. I don't buy that, but. But you as a human being, there are certain traits and certain things that apply and don't apply. That's pretty much at all. But the sacrifice for the greater good. That's what I mean. The sacrifice for the greater good. Oh my God, he's a communist. I'm not a communist. I'm just a Latin American leftist. That's all I'm going to say with that.
I'm modern. Love is love. New traditions, whatever you want to call yourself. Transgender, non-binary, more power to you. You continue doing you. Just as long as there's peace, love, and calm, I'm fine with it. If there's a nice balance to it, I'm happy.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to be our end today. It's been a great evening, right? So don't forget. Yes, Nelly. There you go. All right. So don't forget that you got to share this. And actually, that's a very interesting topic. I love this topic. It was very good. When I saw it, I was like, yes, we got to talk about that because it's great. So we just throw crazy theories. This is just two buddies talking. We don't have the answers to everything. And again, we don't try not to.
I'm not a professional.
Not professional at what we do. We're just crazy.
No, I just play to be. I don't claim the crazy.
I don't play the crazy, but I do have a therapist appointment on Monday.
No, I don't believe in therapy.
Oh, my God.
That's why we have alcohol.
For some odd reason, I do believe that. It's the Mexican way.
That's my traditional old school
therapy. What therapy? Just go get a beer. Okay.
That's my old traditional way.
All right, guys. It's been another segment. It's great to be back. Thank you for joining us today, whoever did and whoever's listening. Thank you very much for staying
until the
end.
You're going to give us another topic?
Give us another topic. This was great, okay?
Send us a message. Go on to Charlie's Bunker.
She's already caught up. She hasn't even listened to the last one. All the work.
She's the only one on here, so stop.
No, there was somebody
else. Stop messing with our views.
There was somebody else.
Okay?
Somebody else. All the
Again,
work.
Again, don't push away our followers and our viewers. Thank you for your comment. Thank you for showing up and like and support and share.
She was late.
And again.
She said it.
You know what? You could always go over to Nelly's Diary, soon to be on podcast.
I am listening.
Soon to be on Anchor and Spotify, Nelly's Diary. So just because Charlie gets me mad, I'm going to start going off and venting on there.
What do you think about this topic? For next one, because it actually caught my attention too. It says, according to Tavjil, studies demonstrated two things. One, that people are social. Second, that people are antisocial.
That's me.
Okay, no. What he's saying is that you're social and antisocial. That's what it's saying. People are social because they like members of their own group, but people are antisocial because they don't like members of other groups. I think that's a very
I
think it should be
okay.
Our next topic.
I don't really.
That's why I'm gonna give you a week to give you all your points.
I will give you 4 hours before the air.
At least she's being honest. All right, guys, this has been all for tonight. Thank you very much. Share.
Thanks for joining, guys. Don't forget, like, comment, share. Go follow us on Spotify, Anchor, YouTube Podcast, Google Podcast. And I kind of skip a couple of things here because I'm missing alcohol.
Yeah. And just in case we don't come back for the next 2 weeks, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's.
And blame Charlie.
And blame me. All right, guys. Deuces.